Lord Jesus for my salvation tonight. It was 15 years ago. I went into the men's home and I was messed up on alcohol and methamphetamines and all kinds of different things. And it was in that home where God got a hold of me and changed my life. And I give him all the credit and all the glory here tonight. And I'm so blessed to be here in this beautiful and powerful ministry under a mighty, mighty man of valor, Pastor Danny. What a great man of God, a great regional pastor, not only a pastor to me, but he is a friend. He is an awesome, awesome example of what it really means to be a mighty soldier for God. Amen. And so I just want to thank you, Pastor, for giving me this privilege. Being under a man like this, it was God knew exactly what I needed in my life to be under a man like this, because he's cutting edge and he doesn't miss a lick. And I'm learning so much from this man, and he's preparing me for God has so much ahead for my wife and I. And I know it is this awesome man of God and this beautiful wife, Sister Barbara. We thank you so much for your sacrifice and laying it down for so many of us. Thank you to here tonight. I want to thank the Lord for my beautiful wife here tonight. I know she gets embarrassed when I do this, but as I always say, she's still putting up with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. You could all be seated tonight. We're going to get right into this. Enough about us. But let's get right into it. And here tonight, let's open up in a word of prayer. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, we come before you tonight as your children. And God, we know, Lord, that if it wasn't for you, we know where most of us would be, God. And we want to thank you here tonight for the awesome privilege, Lord, to be able to group together. First of all, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you, oh God, for bringing us together, Lord, as your word says, to not forsake the assembling of the saints. And God, here we are together tonight, Lord, as one body, serving one powerful, mighty God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as you are one together. You have made us one with you. Lord, here tonight we ask nothing less but your power to be demonstrated in this place. We pray, O Lord God, that you would speak into the hearts of your people and that lives would never be the same again. Lord God of heaven, we need you and we know that we are nothing without you. And Lord, all we want to do is serve you. We want to love you. We want to be our best for you. And Lord, we want to be a display to the world that there is a great and awesome God who saves the lost and the hurting people of this world. And we thank you tonight, Father. And I ask you tonight, oh God, that you take full control, that you would move me out of the way and you do what it is that you do best. And that is transform the hearts of your people. Father, please prepare us, oh God, for every day, Lord God, that you have for us. I know we're not promised tomorrow, but Lord, if we wake tomorrow, we will praise you another day. And Lord, let us hear what you have for us tonight so that we can make the best of every opportunity that we have while we remain in this world. Lord, we thank you that we are not of this world, but we are just here as pilgrims passing through. And Lord, there's a high demand, oh God, Lord. You have called us. There's a mandate. And Lord, as Victory Outreach International in Albuquerque, you have called us, Lord God, to do something with what you've given us. And help us, Lord, to do all that's necessary to bring glory to your powerful name. Father, we love you here tonight. And we ask this in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And everybody give him a praise here tonight. Hallelujah. I titled the message here tonight, Let Go of Your Past, Remember Your Future. Let go of your past and remember your future. I want to speak a little bit in the subject of bringing out patience. Come on now. You know, having patience while waiting and trusting in the Lord. Psalms 37, I'm going to use this scripture right here. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 8. We're going to start here in as an opening text right here, and then we're going to use this as a springboard to go into Exodus 14 here in just a little bit. Are we all together here tonight? Amen. Psalms chapter 37, verses 1 through 8 reads, "Do not fret because of evildoers." Otherwise, fret, another word of way of saying fret is, do not worry, do not be anxious. "Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Hallelujah. You know, patience. Patience is a character quality. It's a character quality that few people seem to possess. According to the Word of God, our lives are to be characterized by patience. Oh, nobody wants to hear about patience tonight. I don't want to hear about patience tonight. For it is important in developing the mature, stable character which God wants to produce in us as his people. Apostle Paul says, "Love is patient," according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. You know, patience is the ability to absorb strain and stress without, here's another one, complaining. Let me say that one more time. Patience is the ability to absorb strain and stress without complaining, and to be left undisturbed by obstacles, delays, or even failures. You see, God allows difficulties. He even allows inconveniences. He allows trials and even suffering to come our way for a specific purpose. Amen? They help develop the right attitude for the growth of patience. You see, as we learn to overcome trials, guess what happens? Godly character is being developed and established within our lives so that we will be able to walk in the power of patience and stop walking in what is displeasing unto the Lord. And that is impatience. My God. I just dropped the mic right now. I'm just kidding. This is a toughie right here. God knows David Nickel needs some patience in his life. God knows Victory Outreach needs some patience. And it's through these trials, it's through troubles, it's through your little struggles and your big struggles that God makes a way for you to make a decision to learn how to be a steady man and woman of God and be patient in knowing that the Lord has got your back, that he's with you. He goes before you. He fights for you. Don't be impatient. Wait upon the Lord. Amen? Wait upon the Lord. You see, it's impatience proves that we don't trust God. Did you know that? Impatience proves that we do not trust God. Impatience is basically hostility towards God. I don't know about you. The last I looked in my Bible, that's straight up rebellion. So that just comes to down to one thing. That's sin. And we're all sinners. And we're all in need of Jesus Christ in our lives. Can I get a witness here tonight? Thank the Lord Jesus for going to the cross at Calvary for you and I. He took it all on for you and I. He went the distance. He did it once and for all. And I'm pretty grateful about that here tonight. How about you? Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus. Chapter 14. Book of Exodus, chapter 14. We're going to read 1 through 15. A lot of reading here tonight. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For if would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Hallelujah. Prior to what we just read, the children of Israel were praising and thanking God for their deliverance from out of Egypt. The Bible tells us that they were walking with great confidence and boldness because of what God has done for them, and also because of what God was doing for them. Here in chapter 14, they experienced their first major trial since God gave them deliverance and victory from out of their slavery from Egypt. They witnessed the enemy pursuing them. The enemy's plan is to take them back into bondage, right? See, that's the enemy's plan for you and I. Now that Jesus has delivered us, Satan wants to stuff us back into bondage. That's not going to happen if we trust God. If we look to the future of what God has for us and stay away from our past. Do not be affiliated with the things we once tap danced with. Are you with me here tonight? The children of Israel became fearful because of their backs were up against the sea. There was nowhere else for them to go. They were fearful. They started to complain and announce that they were comfortable in their slavery, according to verses 10, 11, and 12. They began to complain rather than to stay steady and constant in their trust towards God because of their deliverance. The enemy is jealous. He's mad because of our deliverance. So it's up to you, to us, to maintain our relationship with God daily. Have you ever been in those moments where you just feel like your back is up against the sea? You feel like you get a little bit of victory in your life and something takes place. A trial comes your way and we start to trip out a little bit, right? I know I do. There's many moments where you and I have had our backs to the sea. We've been delivered and God has taken us away that we've never been before. And we're all cool and we're constantly going ahead and right on. Things are going great and good and dandy. And then all of a sudden there's the sea. There is the sea and it's like, what in the world is going on here? You just brought me up out of something I was enslaved to and now I'm up against something that I do not see a way through. But it was God's way of testing and trying His people. It wasn't long that they were praising and they were thanking their Lord for delivering them out of Egypt. Excited and jumping along and just, you know. You think about the day when you got saved. Somebody got to get a little excited here tonight. And then God will always, He's always interested in testing His people. He's always interested in trying us, taking us to the limits, to where we just almost to the point of death sometimes. Just to test a man or a woman in their faith to see how willing of their heart are they willing to go with the Lord. Amen? See, Moses said in verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. Man, don't you want to see your future and not your past any longer? Now, I understand we need to have a glimpse of the past once in a while just to be reminded that we don't want to go there anymore. Amen. And right here in verse 14, check it out. It says, the Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. You shall hold your peace. In other words, hold it together because God is on your side. He is the one fighting for you. When you're falling apart, just know that the Lord is the one that's going to put it all back together. Sometimes God will allow us to fall apart just so that we understand and know how human we are and how we are so interested in needing the salvation of the Lord in our lives. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Hold it together, God is telling us here tonight. Hold it together because I am on your side. I am fighting for you. I'm fighting for you. Verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Man, I find myself crying all the time to God. Can I get a witness here tonight? Well, there's a time, of course, we got to shout out and cry out to God in our times of trouble. But the Lord, I believe He knew. He knows what He put in Moses, and He knows what He put in you. And He knows what it's going to take for you to be able to have the capacity to not only lead yourself, but have the capacity to lead others. And it's going to take a man and a woman who's, once again, of a steady heart and mind and confident in knowing what you are doing, who you are in Christ, and where you are going. People have got to see that upon our lives as Christians. They got to have some hope and know that we are really connected to the one and only true God within our lives. Amen. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." You know, the awesome thing about God is it's real simple. He will allow the Red Sea experiences. We will find ourselves with the back up against our Red Sea experiences. But the one thing about God is, like I said earlier, He's always testing us and He's always trying us. He wants us to have the eyesight, not in the natural, but in the spiritual, to be able to see that, okay, I see what's going on here. This is going to improve me right here. This is going to make me and what God has really tested me and making me into being. This is where it's at. So how am I going to hold my, what am I going to do right now? We have 2 million people that just been delivered out of Egypt, and here they are praising and dancing, and now we look hot pursuit. Here is Pharaoh's armies after the people of God again. And it's crazy because God hardens the heart of Pharaoh. He breaks into the heart of Pharaoh. He says, "Moses, take him out of here. Take everything." And then it wasn't long that God has the power to allow something to happen in the Pharaoh's life to the point where he begins to get arrogant and prideful, and he allows that old stony heart to come on back on aboard again. Are you with me here tonight? And so God uses this because He knows He's got to test the people, because He's trying to get them to a good land. Somebody say a good land. He's trying to get us somewhere in our lives. Even if it means that you're going to come up against some areas and you don't know how to get through. But God is with us. And so here's the people looking at Pharaoh's army. Didn't we just get delivered from there? Why are they on our trail? What do we do now? We were better off in Egypt. I told you not to take us from here, Moses. Always coming against leaders. Always coming against the one as it is that's having a struggle trying to stand in the gap for somebody who's down and out. Sometimes I wonder if people understand what leaders go through. I'll save that for another Bible study. Are we all right with that here tonight? Let's keep cruising. As a matter of fact, can I get the keyboardist up here? Thank you very much. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." And the one thing that stands out in my life serving this great and awesome God is every time I go through my issues and my trials and my troubles of life, there's always that still small voice that still speaks inside of me through a strong thought of just simple words of just go forward. Don't give up. I am with you. Do not be discouraged nor dismayed, for I am your Lord, your God. I have called you out of bondage for you not to be in bondage anymore. Do you not know that I created the Red Sea? Do you not know that I have the power to go before you and show my ways off before the world so that you could understand that it's not you one bit, but it's me? Did you not know that there's a purpose and a plan for your life? I brought you out of such a struggle to bring you into another struggle and into another struggle only for you to have respect for the struggle and knowing that there's a promise that God holds for you. What God speaks to the people of God is true. Stand on it. Believe it. The promised land for the children of Israel was not just the physical promised land. What God is saying, we have a promise. And that is heaven, my brothers and sisters. We have a spiritual inheritance. We have a place that we belong. We are just pilgrims passing through. And so God's intention for us is to go forward in order to receive our promises from God, because He has promises for you. Every time you open up your Bible, there is a promise. There's so many promises. It wasn't just for back then, but it's for today, and it's forever. It's for everyone. God's will is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He loves you so much that He would allow you to be woven and put together in your mama's womb and allow you to be birthed into this cruel world only because He wanted to show you off and show off His power. Once you came to the saving grace and knowledge that Jesus Christ is your everything. We are here tonight because of Jesus. There is no other name that I could ever get up here and speak about but the name of Jesus. And it's the name of Jesus that has the power to break any form of wickedness, anything that you are struggling with here tonight. God will allow you to be backed up to the sea only for you to recognize that God is telling you, be still. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because He wants to get you to your promised land. He brought you that far for you to respect. He said, Moses, I'm going to take you guys another round here. I'm going to take you another way you've never been before. That way they would have to understand and know it was God that was in control of all this. I want us to be reminded of what God has done for us here tonight. In order for us to look and move forward to the future. When you're backed up against your Red Sea, know that it's an opportunity given to you to either surrender, to either fight, or trust God. We must go through the process in order to get to the promise. See, there's a process involved here. He is putting His people under pressure because He knows, just like coal, you know what happens to coal, right, when it's under pressure? You guys are diamonds in the rough. You are treasures out of darkness. And it's only by you being tried and going through some troubles is going to show who you really are and where your hope and your trust really lies on. Verses 16 through 31, we're not going to read. But we find out that God once again delivered them from the hand of the enemy by parting the Red Sea in order for them to cross over to the other side, in order for them to look to the future of God's promises for their lives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I We want to make an appeal here tonight. And the first and most important appeal, we want to give an opportunity to those that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so, if you are here in this room tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, by the uplifting of your hand, if you want to give your life to Jesus, God's Spirit is here. He loves you. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you're here in the church or if you're outside the doors of this building. If you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, the Bible says. Is there anyone that wants to give their life to Jesus Christ here tonight? The Bible tells us that we're not promised tomorrow. No one knows the day nor the hour when Jesus is coming back. And so, if you're not sure of who you are in Christ here tonight, as the music begins to just gradually, just not too much. Everybody is saved in this house tonight. If I could get everyone to stand tonight.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
We want to make an altar call
even
here tonight. Make your way up to the
working.
Altar. God wants
stop.
To do something in your life tonight.
You
come
stop.
Up to the altars here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. Sweet
you
Jesus.
Never stop
Spirit of the living God
you
is in this
stop.
Place. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, you are, God. Oh, what an amazing God you are, Jesus.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
Hallelujah.
Never stop.